RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Looked like if I was watching it, I tuned in for a little bit. I think this game was in standard def.
It didn't have the bars on the end,
but like when you don't have to, right?
If you were flipping back and forth,
you were like, this picture's awful.
When you're in a waiting room, you know, and they've got the TV on and it's not in, and it's a high def, it's like, how do they even do this?
Yeah.
Like, how does this happen?
Correct.
How do you, but
he tried to catch a kickoff through the end zone and then it took a short hop on him, and then the lowrider jeans were not a great visual.
Was his announcers, who was sitting next to him, did they look, they were in that, like, I didn't know orange was the color of CW, but they had like, looked like they worked for Singular Wireless, if you
yes.
go and
you know,
see
you know.
That. But the, but Snoop pitched
his precursor of AT&T, right?
Yeah.
Singular became AT&T,
yeah,
right?
Singular became AT&T.
So for us, I think it went, what was it, Sun?
Not C Spire. What was the?
No, C Spire's a different one.
I had whatever Singular
it was like
acquired.
Sun. It was like, remember they had the good old-fashioned jingle of like walking on sunshine. It was like, it sounded like a bank, but it wasn't. It was not SunTrust, SunCoast. It was like not PacSun.
But it did sound like a phone company.
It then went, and it wasn't,
A made-up
and it wasn't
word,
a Bell South. It wasn't like a, and then.
Was it not Bell South?
Bell South was a like a landline company.
Yeah.
And then I think we got like DSL through, but that Sun company became Singular, which then became AT&T.
Right. That's why I have AT&T.
Yes.
So Snoop Dogg was asked what he would change about college football, and he would say he would make the postseason 24 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Take two games out, get all that champion stuff out of the way, and go 24 teams. Get cracking and see who's going to win it all.
The problem is his idea just
He wants it to be bigger and better because he's thinking of March Madness.
But his idea smelled like Tony Petitti's with the play-ins and whatnot. I'm out on that. The problem is the bigger you make the postseason, the lesser you make the regular season. The reason why I love 12 is the regular season still feels like it matters. Yes, we have lost the rip-your-guts-out loss that ends your season.
I know, and I'm becoming on the radio all the time, Jeffrey, trying to talk you down like the guy who's like, you know, I mean, you're in love with the 12, but I'm saying like she's not gonna marry you. Like you're with the 12 now, but it's long term. You're not gonna be able to be with this 12. You're not gonna be able to be long term with the 12.
You don't understand.
No, I'm telling you, it's just not going to be.
Trust me, I know what everybody's saying.
There's something better out there. More money is out there. You don't have enough money, Jeffrey, for the 12.
The more money's not out there.
It's not going to be.
Listen.
The money's there.
That money's not going to treat her right.
But it's. I know what you're saying. I know you believe that, and you're probably right. But sometimes, you know, there's gold diggers. There's gold diggers, Jeffrey.
I understand. Usually they can stiff me out pretty quickly. Yeah.
I think you're involved with a gold digger in this situation.
I have experience.
But it's, I mean, I'm with you. I love the 12 team. I'm loving what we're getting every year and like making small tweaks. A jump to 16 is going to be a big tweak. A jump to 24 would be insane because who would be left out? That would be the team who's number 25 in the top 25. Is that who's left out? It would have been James Madison possibly. We'll just take the top 24 teams. That is bananas. But it's Snoop Dogg, right? I mean, he was probably high and drinking some gin and juice.
Correct. He was cross-faded.
If he's on brand, right? But that's what the guest commentator role during these bowl games. I mean, that you got to differentiate yourself, right? And that the Pop-Tarts Bowl, you had the announcers who were wearing Pop-Tart pocket squares. Also, one of the announcers had that.
We also got Kalani Sitake with my favorite line when they were asking him if he had any problem about eating more Pop-Tart, and he's like, yeah, I still got 8 pounds to gain before New Year's resolutions. I'm good. Like that was like, you got to gain the weight to lose the weight.
Right.
That was great math.
That dude, by the way, not the handful that he grabbed.
When he did the punch, like he did like a smash cake. He did
not
like,
even
like,
that.
Like literally, like, remember our daughter's 1-year-old birthday party? Like that's right. What he did. Like he did a smash cake.
He did the smash cake. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That. There was also that clip of him just absolutely demolishing just a standard Pop-Tart. I don't think I've ever seen one disappear that quickly.
He basically one touched it.
It was awesome.
What else happened in the I didn't get to watch as much of the
Pop-Tarts. In the Pop-Tarts bowl, we also had strawberry protein.
Like jumps away and
he was on the toaster and he's like, F this, no way, ran off. I just think in general that bowl game's figured it out.
No, like, they have, and in a way, like it's a lifelong wrestling fan as well. You know, there was always like the comedy match, right? Like this is kind of the comedy bowl game. I'm just amazed how football has done this, and it's being embraced in the way that it is, and not being like there's not. I'm surprised there's not a lot of backlash of like making a mockery of the game. I love it, and it seems like you don't hear anybody. Push back against it, and maybe it's because, you know, ESPN, right? ESPN has the sponsorships, everything. Who's going to be speaking out against fun? But it is like the comedy match in wrestling when you have that match where, you know, it's some goofy Miracle on 34th Street fight or something, and people are beating each other up with Christmas trees and presents. Like, this is that one bowl game on the entire card of bowl games where you know you tune into and you kind of just get a little dessert, obviously, for a Pop-Tart for dessert.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about it is in so much of today that is like so aggressively marketing and shoving a product down our face, like we kind of tune out. It's the fact that they almost lean into it so much that you kind of turn off caring about that.
The tone is like the tone is on point and could easily be screwed up. And I'm still surprised it's attempted in a lot of ways. What was the lawnmower?
With
bowl.
The Bad Boy Mowers.
And they dump grass on you now at the
Pinstripe
end.
Bowl.
Yeah, they dump grass on you instead
that
of water
was,
if you win.
There was a lot of that was a reminder there was a bunch of snow in the Northeast this weekend because that and the Fenway Bowl, like you're at the baseball stadiums, you just saw snow in the background.
Did they jump on the Fenway Bowl? Do you get clam chowder dumped on you? Or?
I did not make it to the end of the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Wasabi?
Also, yeah.
Did you wasabi?
No. Apparently Wasabi's like a tech company.
Okay.
I learned that a couple of Wasabi Bowls ago. Fenway Bowls again.
Fenway.
Yeah. That is all.
But I do like that. The great thing about the like things like the Fenway, because I was watching a little bit of the Fenway Bowl and was like, what do I want for my bowl games in 2025, right? The entertainment of the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yes.
The, you know, just the goofiness of that. We know that's going to be goofy. I like playing football games in places that you don't typically get football games. I think that's interesting.
Baseball stadiums.
Yeah. So the baseball stadiums, that's interesting. But the majority of them are the cookie cutter, put them anywhere, you know, NBA arena, not much excitement to it from that perspective, which is going to, if you're a bowl game out there, my advice in this current climate, differentiate yourself. Get people a reason to watch. Get people a reason to want to play in it. And the fact that the Pop-Tarts Bowl is going to be the best bowl outside of the playoffs.
It also helped
if it
that
isn't
had,
already, it's going to be the number one must-watch outside the playoffs.
They had two teams that were happy to be there. They leaned into like putting the sprinkles on their helmet, and like you had Georgia Tech and BYU playing hard. That certainly helped matters. I think that was a huge.
But they
got
to keep. They do have to keep. You know, they do have pressure to. You know, for it not to get stale. You know, that's worse than a stale Pop-Tart.
I'll say this:
open the Pop-Tart package.
I went out and bought Pop-Tarts this weekend.
Did you? You ever open up the? Because you got it. Everything's a 2-pack, right?
Oh yeah.
And so you have to open it up, and you only want one, and you put the other one back in the box.
Not me.
Have you never done that before?
No,
never.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
You've always eaten both.
Yeah, one of the first like culture shock moments when my roommate and I got together, the fact that like, every night I would eat 2 Pop-Tarts with Flavor Blasted Goldfish and chug a Dr. Pepper, and he's like, how do you not weigh 300 pounds?
Wait, every night you
Oh, yeah,
do this?
Before we'd hit the sticks. All right, I don't know. Let's just play some NCAA. Come on. I'll let you play Madden this time.
I mean, the bowl games. I like these games that are the celebrity tie-ins, right? You got Snoop. You give me something fresh. So if I'm tuning in, there's something else besides two teams that were not good enough to be in the playoffs playing each other.
That's gonna drive me crazy. Cellular One became something.
That's not. That's what. I bet there's some type of a way
We'll figure out
to find that. I don't have an old phone, Bill. But
also, Seth was looking like $1 million on at the desk at Minneapolis before the Lions and Vikings. Absolutely dressed to the nines in the all whites.
Any other thoughts from Netflix? I know we got to take a break, but that
it was just the games were so meaningless that it was just not a fair fight. Like even though two of the games kind of became close, like it just you didn't feel anything whatsoever. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. Let's talk some Grizzlies and more. We'll do all that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 99 FM ESPN.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
CJ Heard of Grind City Media is going to join us here in about 20 minutes. Before we talk to him, let's get in the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. All right, boys, it seems like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object is the Grizzlies against a 500 record, because for the second consecutive week, the Grizzlies needed to beat the Washington Wizards to get to 500, and for the second consecutive game, the Grizzlies fall to the Wizards 116-112. It was one of those weird games where you didn't really know what to think about it, because the Grizzlies didn't play poorly, but when you looked at the stat sheet, you're like, eh, Ja's numbers were okay, but you didn't feel like he ever took control of the game. Jaren, who was good early, then when they needed him to be good in the fourth quarter, he couldn't quite make the play. Cam Spencer gets shut out from three. I don't know. It's just a weird game where it's like you'd look up and you thought the Grizzlies were taking control. They'd be up 10, and then you'd flip back like 6 seconds later, and then the Grizzlies were down five. Like, I don't know. It was a weird game, but it was also an interesting weekend, because on Friday night, I had mentioned it at the beginning of the show, Aaliyah and I went to the Bucks game, and it was another nice reminder of Grizzlies games can still be fun. It was a good crowd on a Friday night. Jaren and Ja, after kind of slow first quarters, they both played really well, particularly from the second quarter on, and the Grizzlies kind of ran away with the game. Cam Spencer had another big night where it's like, man, every time it goes up, you think it's going in until Sunday night. But I didn't really know what to make of the weekend where, yeah, I guess it's just kind of another reminder of, like, man, this team's shorthanded. They're just going to have these games where there's no game that you can pencil in just a W. I think that was just another reminder of that.
Well, you know, so Grizz versus Wiz. It's the one game a year where you're allowed to spell Grizz with only one Z.
Yes, of course.
Grizz versus the Wiz. It makes me feel better about the previous loss to the Wizards, because I feel like just maybe the Wizards just have the Grizzlies' number. They don't have to worry about playing the Wizards in the NBA Finals.
Yes,
for sure. When the Grizzlies get there, they're not going to be playing the Wizards. The Wizards aren't going to make the Finals. So, but the Grizzlies, you know, they might.
We did get two consecutive games of Cedric Coward. So after the slight freak out of, oh no, he's downgraded for, I think it was heel soreness, did play on Friday night, did play on Sunday. Also was clearly on a minutes restriction. It certainly seemed like. I don't know if it was ever confirmed, but it certainly felt like.
No, it was confirmed.
He was noticeably on a minutes restriction.
Yeah.
I knew it was confirmed Friday. I didn't know if it got confirmed last night.
the way they've been handling those sort of things just in general kind of leads me that direction.
I mean, maybe the Grizzlies are just overlooked this game like I did, because I'm just laser focused on tomorrow night, December 30th,
of course,
to see my hometown NBA team on the NBA NBC. So I want to see, like, there's this, you know, having a, you know, this certain moments that happen, you know, since we've had this team for 20 years, right? This is season one, 20? Yeah.
Like, 25th.
You know, you're like 25th. Back 2000.
I think last year was the 20th of FedEx Forum.
25, yeah. 25 years. And, you know, it's rare that you get to see finally get to see the Grizzlies play on Christmas Day recently, right, in the past few years.
Yes.
And now, like, we're getting something, as a kid, I never thought I would see as a NBA team. You know, I was watching Ahmad Rashad on Inside, or not Inside, what was it, Inside Stuff. There's insides in everything.
Yeah, it was Inside Stuff.
For these NBA shows. Inside
Ahmad
Stuff.
And Summers.
When I was trying to watch wrestling or Saved by the Bell, somewhere sandwiched in between was...
Sanders?
Who was the
swimmer?
Was it Summer Sanders?
Sanders.
No.
Summer Sanders?
Sanders, who also was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. She swam at Stanford.
Yes. Nickelodeon game show host.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies played on NBC.
Mo was our ref on Guts. Mike was the host. But didn't Summer occasionally
Hannah
pop
Storm
up?
Was on that as well at some point. But what? Oh, what about Mike O'Malley was on there?
Yeah, Mike O'Malley was the host, obviously, of Guts. But didn't I think there was a period where Summer was maybe
was
like
she on Guts?
I think she did some, like, interviews, maybe. I mean, Mo was obviously our official.
She was on Figure It Out, but also something else. What was her other game show on Nickelodeon?
She went on Double Dare, right?
No, she didn't do any of it. Like the new Double Dare, I'm pretty sure that wasn't her. There was another game show that I feel like was. There was Figure It Out, which was the celebrity panel game show that she was involved with.
So she was named the commissioner for Nickelodeon Gas, Games and Sports.
That was a channel, I think, for a minute.
Figure It Out, obviously, as you mentioned.
She had another one, right? Maybe she did do... No, because we're thinking... Summers, of course, Mark Summers. This is where we're getting Mandela effect-ish.
Correct.
Our brains are getting all... Because, yeah, Mark Summers, no relation.
Right. And she married a Mark as well.
Oh, my goodness. That's,
yes.
That does get confusing. Mark and Summer.
I don't think that marriage lasted.
Did she not have another Nickelodeon game show? Was that the only one?
She was the commission. I feel like she
You think she was on Guts?
I feel like she popped up.
There's a special
up.
Episode.
Yeah, like.
Special episode of Guts that you really, really like. Now, that Guts is ready for another reboot.
I think we tried.
Yeah.
I think we tried, but it didn't exactly work. It's just time and place, man. The Agger Crack. I remember one time my buddy in college tried to buy a piece of the crag off eBay because he just wanted the story to tell. Like, think about any time anyone comes over to a party and they see the crag right there.
Oh, gosh, that would be awesome.
That was his big selling
point. He did
point.
Not get it? Or he did?
He got outbid.
Oh, he got outbid.
Yeah.
On eBay.
Yeah,
it had like a certificate of authenticity with it.
I'm gonna say we didn't go that far.
Okay.
I'm gonna say we did not get the seal of approval.
All right.
I mean, the other thing is they just got killed inside. Like, second chance points. Like, they just got out rebounded. I don't know. It was a weird game to watch. It was like the perfect Sunday in the middle of NFL Sunday, where you're like, okay, at least the whole world's not focused on this. But yes, the NBA on NBC tomorrow night. The Grizzlies did play the Spurs earlier this year, but that game was in San Antonio.
Right.
And so this year it'll be a home game.
Yes.
And I believe we tried to go back and look and see whether or not the Grizz played on NBC in the early iteration. And I don't.
Back in Van the. You're right. So right before.
Before ABC got control.
Before the ABC. That was very early on.
I think that was 2003.
Yeah.
I think ABC gets it in 2003.
So I don't think they really did that. But the last one was on NBC proper. And this one.
So the Grizzlies have played.
Because this one's on NBC.
The Thunder on Peacock, I think that was last week.
And then we did have one NBC game already.
The NBC game, they played on NBC when they played the Spurs back, I don't know, November.
Okay.
But that was not a home game, obviously.
But any one of them, I will watch. I will watch those for sure.
Okay. Walmart. All right, so you said you had a story you wanted to talk about Walmart on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, I'm putting Walmart on the list because I No, so I went to, you know, when do you do Christmas shopping? On Christmas Eve, right? That's what the day is, right?
Yes. I went to Walmart on the 23rd this year.
On the 23rd. Well, I went on Christmas Eve, and...
Which store?
I was at the Winchester.
Okay.
The Winchester Walmart.
So Winchester 385, that one?
Yeah,
okay.
That one. The one out by FedEx, right? And I saw two celebrities there while I was shopping.
Okay.
And I would see if you could guess them. We don't have Right or the Right trivia this week. We didn't have it last week. I'm going to keep your brain fresh for next week's big game to kick off 2026. So I saw two celebrities, one fictional and one real-life celebrity, just there shopping. And did not seem like they were there in any official capacity.
Mike
at
Miller.
At the Walmart on Christmas Eve. Nope, not Mike Miller.
Lucy Hale.
Nope.
I'm related to her.
That's a good guess. What's the relation?
Lucy's dad is my mom's cousin.
Okay.
And we went to Cordova together. We were in Clue together.
Oh,
and
cool.
Actually, I think we were in first and second grade together.
Have you watched Pretty Little Liars?
I have not, but... I'm glad that she had consistent, steady work.
Well, you're starting with the real life celebrity, not the fictional one.
Fictional celebrity, Bluey.
No,
I got nothing.
I'm just in the grocery section at the Walmart, and then the Grinch is walking around. This is the Grinch, like is not the Grinch that came up to the station. And the Grinch who came out to Music Bingo and hung out with us. Not the one from The Orphan. That show's been over. But somebody was just at Walmart walking around in Grinch costume.
But not Jason Bateman?
No, I don't think so.
Jason Bateman's the one doing the Grinch, the Walmart ads.
Oh, is that who's doing that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that. That is true. So this is the question, though. Was Walmart sending the Grinch walking around? Because it was not as an elaborate costume. But this guy was like, it wasn't like he was just there running in to get something and was on his way to his gig as the Grinch. He was just shopping. And kids would come up and take pictures, and he would say, oh, let's go take a picture over here. So I couldn't tell if he was there in official capacity. It would just seem weird to have the Grinch walk around.
Can
the
somebody
store.
Explain to me how the Grinch has been around since the 60s?
Correct, yes, 1960s, yeah.
We have lived through the remake of the 2000s.
Yes.
With Jim Carrey.
And the 2018 movie.
The animated cartoon, movie, yeah. With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Why in 2025 did the Grinch...
He's officially...
Like, it got turned up. Like, I know Walmart did the whole Grinch tie-ins.
And I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think they did that because it's gotten turned up.
Why has the Grinch upped in popularity again?
I had this conversation with my new brother-in-law the other day. We had the same conversation. And I was trying to figure it out. I was like, is it this generation connects with the Grinch more? I do feel like there's more marketing... today than there ever was. Like when we were growing up, Home Alone was my favorite movie. I was the same age as Kevin when the movie came out, and like, but I could never buy Home Alone.
Named Kevin,
right? I'm also named Kevin.
Yes.
So and my parents left me Home Alone. No, but the
it is kind of funny to think
I
Home Alone
stop
now
two
like
robbers.
Last 27 seconds because he would have just texted his parents.
Right. Oh yeah. The different ways, but
yeah.
But like, Home Alone was like there was never an idea that you would. There was Home Alone stuff to buy at the store.
Well,
right?
Except
back
until
then.
We got two when we got the Talk Back.
You finally got the Talk Boy.
Yeah, that
the
thing
you got
was
the Talk
massive.
Boy toy. That was it was huge.
Right.
But it took forever to like really purchase, to buy. There wasn't Home Alone swag like there is today. You can get the little people for your you know, kid
easy.
To play with, like for
vertically
every Christmas
challenged.
Movie. That's what they're called, the Fisher-Price toys. The Fisher-Price toys, you can get those. I'm pretty sure that's what they're called, right? Aren't they called that?
Sure. I think I bought one of those. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and they go in the little.
I bought one with a fire truck or something.
Yeah, the fire truck would be one or the school bus,
yeah.
Or something like that. Anyway, that the marketing opportunity of the day, I do think they're like the Grimace shake proved that like you want to go viral. So is that why McDonald's comes out with this, the Grinch meal, the Grinch, which we talked about on Right or the Right Trivia? You know, you can get that Grinch adult meal. I don't know if it's still available, but like. You want everything to be TikTok-y.
Well, that's why I assume what happened was something happened on TikTok. And
I don't think there was a moment.
It went through the roof, and then everybody did what they do, which is hop on.
People started selling Grinch stuff, I think, and they which maybe it's also because we're tracking data now, and we're tracking people who really like the Grinch, and there's not enough Grinch things. We could sell somebody this Grinch inflatable. But yeah, nobody's ever did the, until recently, you see that Christmas decorations of somebody putting a Grinch in their front yard, stealing the Christmas lights. I mean, you've seen that decoration, right? Like that's still, all this is fairly recently in the past 5 to 10 years, most of it being in the past 3 years that the Grinch has been. I don't know.
Feels like it's in the last like 6 months.
You feel like it's just this year. And
this year it stood out to me because like even my daughter's daycare did like a Grinch day and I was like, I feel like I've seen more Grinch merch tie-ins exposure to the Grinch this year than I have like in all my other years combined, including in the years when I made my dad go see the Grinch with us.
And it could be the of course, the access to streaming and you being able to watch. You know, why was It's a Wonderful Life such a big deal? Because it was the movie that everybody
well,
had.
Why
on
are all the Office people doing ads in 2025? I think it's because, like, we haven't made comedies in forever, and it's like people are going back and watching the comedies.
I mean, the last true, we make, there's a bazillion Hallmark and those cheesy romantic comedy movies every year, which I finally caught up with Hot Frosty over the holiday. But the.
Is that like Rookie of the Year Hot Ice?
Hot Frosty. No, it's a Netflix.
Oh, it's like McDreamy, McSteamy Frosty.
No, I mean, no, it's
like we're saying like
no,
Frosty.
It's like Frosty the Snowman, but he's hot.
Hot. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like McDreamy. Yeah.
Hot Frosty.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's like Hot
It's Poke, a star-studded cast. Yeah. It's got a star-studded cast.
I'm sure.
But like Elf, I guess Elf is probably the most recent holiday classic that came out, and that was in the early 2000s. Like since the Grizzlies moved to Memphis, we've had Elf. But really, there has not been another one since then. I'm not sure. When Polar Express came out.
I want to say it was 05.
But that was based off of something else. The and there's been a
reminder
Bad Santa.
That,
I guess Bad Santa.
Bad Santa, but
that's
a different
thing. But
still
not on the level of Elf, it's, where it's a family.
Correct.
Family thing. But we're getting off. I think the streaming matters. Like, if you have the cock.
Yeah.
Like, it's always number one. They have all the Grinches on there.
Yeah.
And you can watch any of the Grinches. So I don't, I have theories, Jeffrey, but I don't have a real correct answer for you. I feel like there's a connection that maybe this generation or everybody has with the Grinch, and algorithms and stuff has helped, you know, bring it to the, like that there is money to be made with this Grinch character. But here we are. So I saw the Grinch walking around. I don't know if it did not seem like it was an official capacity. I was like, felt like there was just
a Grinch in the
wild.
The
Grinch walking around. But then also, when I was checking out, I was going to the, you know, where you check yourself out, you know,
self-check,
your unpaid, my unpaid job at Walmart before I was on Christmas Eve. Walmart was making me work on Christmas Eve. But there was another Memphis, a real celebrity, a Memphis celebrity hanging out by the checkout.
The King?
It was Penny Hardaway.
Ah!
Penny Hardaway. No media, again, not an official capacity. Penny was there. With a small entourage, by that I mean at least one other person, maybe it could have been somebody else. But Penny was there paying for people's
Christmas
stuff on Christmas Eve. And so from this point forward, I will never, you know, tell you we need a new coach. But
no.
To watch that in action, like there was not a TV camera there.
Yeah.
I just happened to be there and I happened to, you know,
it wasn't
come on the radio and talk about it. But I just happened to be there actually getting some stuff. And leaving and seeing Penny there. And they're like, that's cool. He's taking pictures. And then all of a sudden he walks around and just puts his car in the machine for somebody, goes back, and then he does it and then does it again and keeps doing it. And he's just buying people's Christmas Eve groceries and toys, whatever they had in their cart at the Walmart on Winchester. So, you know, shout out to Penny Hardaway.
Shout out to Penny.
Never saw Tubby doing that.
All right. And then quickly, the King. Is he really going to have another match?
Oh, yeah. So Jerry Lawler, who wouldn't be surprised if I saw Lawler, you know, walking around Walmart. You always see the King out and about. So the King had an interview with Joe Birch over the holiday on Channel 5. And what got picked up by all the wrestling media, by TMZ, a lot of national media picking up, was his quote on there that he said, quote, he has one more match in there somewhere. So to tease that he could, in fact...
So is Gunther going to retire him?
You know, that would be... WWE will not let... You know, TMZ's teasing, oh, he could be in the Royal Rumble, right? Like, that's an easy match to be in. But...
They have to clear him, right?
WWE, he's not been clear. He's not had a match since his heart attack.
Yeah.
In WWE, and that goes back to 2012. And the fact that the King just recently had a stroke again, and is now colorblind, according to this interview as well from Joe Birch,
Also one of Dolph Ziggler's great Heat moments.
But the King never ever felt like he was ever going to retire. He was going to be forced out. And I don't think he wants to be told that he can't wrestle anymore. But I would be very surprised if you see these headlines. The King says he's got one more match. Really? You
think it does have some flair.
I just don't think his...
I feel like it has some Flair vibes. I always felt like Flair always, every 2 or 3 years, I got one more in me.
Flair. Ed Flair, yeah. Flair, of course, he hadn't had a stroke, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And the King now has had multiple strokes. So I don't think it... I will be stunned if he has... He's definitely not going to have one with WWE, so it means he'd be getting paid to go to a high school gym or a National Guard armory.
Yeah.
To be in a tag team match or something. And those are sad. I don't want to see that. Because one thing about him, Lawler wrestled until he was in his 70s and still looked pretty good. Still could do a Jerry Lawler match. So I don't want to see him not to do a match that's not a Jerry Lawler match.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be great.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we join CJ Hurt joins the program next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
CJ Hurt is Grind City Media personality. You can always see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, is there a financial opportunity for us? Every time the Grizzlies have a chance to get to 500, should we just bet the other team to win?
No. That'd be ridiculous. Unless that other team is the Wizards.
Yeah. And now we are fortunately past them for the rest of the year.
Wait. I take gambling classes because I work for the Grizzlies. Let me just say, no, I can't bet on this, and I can't tip on this.
Of course.
But if they were playing the Wizards, can they have a chance to get to 500? And if I was to bet on this, I'd probably take the Wizards in this.
And you can find that on FanDuel.
Yeah.
CJ did not get a new phone for Christmas.
Or a new headset.
Hello?
Okay, now we got you. Now we got you.
You're back.
There we go.
You're breaking up.
We lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so or you could you have taken a course since recently for
I imagine the NBA is definitely on this right now.
Oh, absolutely. Wait, what happened? Now I lost you guys. What happened?
Well, I was asking if you have had a work seminar or class or course about this particular topic in the past 60 days.
Say that again, Kevin.
We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. But say, in the past 60 days, have you had a work course or seminar, virtual meeting about this topic? He doesn't want to answer this question. This is hard-hitting journalism that you get here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, trying to figure out what the Grizzlies have done about the NBA gambling situation.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, it's tough when you sit there and, like, you know, now you've got owners of teams that have actual like stakes in the gambling companies. But
right.
when you're going through the investigation, I mean, I think that's what's interesting about it, CJ, which is how do you think the NBA balances the fact that gambling is such a huge part of the space, and yet they obviously are trying to distance themselves while also taking the money?
I think one of the steps that they have implemented is by making random ass employees take these daggum gambling courses. I think that's the first way they go about handling it, as one of those random employees who had to take not one but two of those courses this year, I think. But outside of that, man, I think that whatever they got to do to make it to show that they are on the up and up is what it is. The money is in the sport, right? The money is here, and the money is above board. Now in a way that it's never been. We've always, and I learned this when I was starting out in this industry. My people didn't gamble a whole lot. But then you get into this industry and you start talking to some fans, and you start talking to some other people, and it's like, oh, you guys gamble for real, like boogies and everything. Oh, that's wild. So it's always been there, and now it's above board, and now the leagues, the NBA and others, NBA, NFL, college, sports as well, can start dipping into that pool a little bit more, and they don't want to give up that money, but they don't want you to lose faith in the product itself. So whatever they got to do to make it to keep the faith in the public in the product on the court or on the field, that's what they'll do, and that's what they've been doing.
This is
not like they want to get rid of the gambling money, right?
I mean,
they don't want that.
No, I mean a lot of these owners have like massive stakes in some of these gambling companies now. Like, they don't want it to go away. I do think, I'm not so sure if we should have like individual props on the ninth guy on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, that does feel like maybe that's something that could be solved.
Yeah, but that's one way of handling it. But again, because it's above board, you end up catching the Terry Rozier's, you end up catching the Porter's, you end up catching the Chauncey Billups. And I think the Chauncey Billups thing is more so about the people who he was luring to the table, not necessarily about what he was doing necessarily per se. But hey, we'll find out more as the investigation continues to go through. And by the time it concludes, we'll have a pretty good picture of what all that gambling scandal entails.
You have taken a course since the season started?
We take one a year. So we took one. I can't remember. I feel like it was in the spring. We usually take one.
Yeah.
And then when – who got popped? It was Rozier and Billups. Boom, boom, back to back.
Yeah, that was right at the very beginning of the season. Yeah, right before Halloween.
The next week, they were like, hey, you got an emergency course.
Like, you were in your Halloween costume. You had to go into this course. But you also, not only do the Jessica Bisson show, you also host the Odds Couple show over there for Grind City, which sounds like a gambling show to me. Or is it an old school black and white television review show? I can't remember. Which one is it?
No, it's gambling. We're working on the old school black and white television review show.
I thought you were doing a breakdown of every episode of the Odd Couple. Not true. All right.
No, we don't do that, but we should.
You might have to pivot to that.
We don't break down NBA action. We don't break down NBA action. We don't break down WNBA action. We don't break down college. Well, we do break down college basketball. We don't break down international basketball action. So football, baseball, hockey, college basketball, college football, all the college sports we're good on. We don't ever break down the odds on NBA action because that line gets kind of blurry.
No, that makes sense.
We don't want to tip, and we don't want to sway the betting public because, you know, it's nothing but winners on the Odds Couple.
Of course.
Nothing but winners on the Odds Couple. We don't want to sway the public. We got a couple of what is it, sharks, whatever we call that.
Sharks,
we a couple of those out there. Yeah, we're a couple of those out there. Me, Lang, Rob and Roser, we're a couple of those over there on the Oscar.
It sounds like the show that show in particular is paying. You're paying attention during your seminars, so that's for sure.
If I get fired, it won't be for gambling.
It's not going to be for the reasons of the Michigan coach firing either, right over there for the we. It's not going to be for that reason either, right?
No, absolutely not. Who has the energy for? Kevin, you've got a whole family, and you only got one kid. I got a wife. I don't have any kids. This man had a wife and three kids. How could you possibly have the energy to be out here? And they're little kids. These aren't like teenagers who can take care of themselves. These are little kids who still need you to like wipe their boogies and stuff. How could you possibly have the energy for a whole nother side?
Now, if I was, 67, like the new Michigan coach, maybe I would have the
66,
energy.
66, please.
Is he 66? do you think the new coach is too old, CJ? The new coach of Michigan, the former coach of Utah. Somebody remind me of his name.
Kyle Whittingham.
I just remember his age. I just got to remember he's not 6'7".
Correct.
He's 6'6". He's 6'6". Right now.
Have you seen this man, Kevin? He's 67 the same way Pete Carroll was 67. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, okay, Pete Carroll is surfing before practice and bringing the surfboard to practice and getting dressed in the coach's office to go to practice. He's a young, sprite sort of.
Pete Carroll's old now, right? He wasn't old then.
Say we can't use Pete Carroll as the example.
He comes
now,
across as old now.
But yes, no,
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
but like he's old now. But what is he? Yes, 72, 73.
He's 73. Yeah. 60s,
when he was in the 60s, Pete was like young. Pete was basically 40. Listen, the average shelf life for a college coach is 4 years anyway. So he gets to 70 and it doesn't work out. You move on and you keep it going. He's won in three with the same program in three different conferences. Right. And in one of those conference moves, he moved from a group of conference to a power conference and still found ways to win. He's a run first coach. That's Michigan football. He's defensive oriented. That's Michigan football. He's going to bring in the offensive coordinator, I do believe, from Utah, the one that he lured from BYU, if I remember correctly. He's going to bring in,
New Mexico. He's trying to bring BYU's DC, but he hired Beck from New Mexico, and I think he's trying to bring him with him. It seems like that's going to happen.
So all those, the Utah, BYU, all those people are connected on the football side of things. So if you coach at BYU, you probably had something to do with Utah. If you coach at Utah, you probably had something to do with BYU. And this guy from New Mexico has ties to one of those universities. Either way it goes, bring him in, bring in a defensive coordinator, his defensive coordinator, somebody who's been on his staff and understands his system real well. I'm expecting it to be Utah, but a Michigan athletic budget. And so that means you're able to get access to way better athletes. For one, you're able to bring them in and get them trained up at a different level than what you were able to do at a Utah. Facilities are great and all, but it's not the same as the University of Michigan's. And I'm expecting big things from my thing for everything that is to be considered. Considering where Michigan started off, how this hiring search ended up starting off, I give this an A-plus hire, man. You started this search early December, and it looked like you did your due diligence. You went out to people and you tried to get them to the best of your ability. You made folks tell you no. And then you ended up coming back to a coach who is a perennial 9-10 win a year type of guy, somebody who is constantly in contention for his conference championship, be it Pac-12 or the Big 12. Somebody who is familiar with Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington from the Pac-12 days 2 years ago. That's somebody who's going to come in there and play Michigan football. I think it is. I think this is as good a hire as you could have realistically hoped for as a Michigan fan. Now it's time for him to try and keep some of that talent from entering the transfer portal and work in the transfer portal to start bringing dudes in.
Yeah, and there was also this weird. It's almost like if you're an older coach that you carry this reputation of you're allergic to the transfer portal. He wasn't portaling offense and defensive linemen because they had a lot of those at Utah. But he was portaling with receivers. He was portaling with skill guys. Like, I don't know where that narrative came from because it did not line up. Like, Utah was filling in gaps. And to your point, now he can do so with a bigger budget. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Utah was in such dire straits that to be competitive, they took out a private equity deal. And they're betting against they're essentially putting up their increased television revenues, which may or may not happen, as collateral. Like, now you go to Michigan where that's not going to be an issue. Like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of look at this and I'm sitting there thinking, like, I'm not saying this was orchestrated because I don't believe that, but I do think Michigan backed into a really good football coach.
Yeah. So they failed upwards.
Yeah.
I think he is noticeably and considerably better than Sharon Moore. And you go back and you look at his record over the last five seasons, three of those seasons, he got 10 wins. And 10 wins for anybody is a damn good season to me. 10-4, 10-4, 8-5, 5-7 last year, and then followed that up with a 10-2 year this year, 11-3 in 2019, 10-3 in 2015, and that's when Utah was in the Pac-12. He's got a couple of 9-win seasons in the Pac-12 as well. Again, a good season, I think, for what Utah is. I think this is going to be one of those cases where somebody, you as a college football fan, you say, oh, Michigan has all this stuff around it. All right, it's time for them to start being bad at football. Somebody's got to punish them. And fortunately for me, a Michigan fan, and fortunately for the University of Michigan at the athletic department, it's not like looking like it'll be anytime soon, because this guy comes in here, Coach Whittingham, and he's a winner. And he's a better coach than what the coach you have was. Again, they failed upwards. They had something really, really stupid happen in the program, scandalous, shameful, disgraceful, and somehow they're better off for it. And as a Michigan fan, I just love that so very, 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 very much.
All right, last thing before we let you go. You got, if I say one team in the quarterfinals this week upsets another, who would you bet on?
One team.
Another betting question for CJ.
Well, it's college football.
But it's college football.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's football. I can do that. I can do that. Upset. So you got Miami and Ohio State,
correct.
Indiana and
Bama.
Bama, Ole Miss and
Georgia,
and then Texas Tech, Oregon.
Correct.
I'll go Miami and Ohio State. I don't think that's going to be a high scoring game. I think because it's not a high scoring game, it's going to come down to three, maybe four explosive plays for either team. And I think Miami would be the one who, if I had to pick the upset, I would pick the Hurricanes to go out there in the Orange Bowl, basically at home, and take care of business against Ohio State.
It was who you think, not who you're rooting for, CJ. Mm-hmm. That's who you're rooting for.
Listen, it's going to be the same thing sometimes.
Yeah, we looked up and saw what Ohio State offense looks like against a good defense. We saw it against Texas the first game of the season. They put up 14 points. We saw it against Indiana during the Big Ten championship game. Two best defenses the Buckeyes played this season, and what they put up in the Big Ten championship game, 10 points. So there's a ton of talent offensively on that Buckeye side, but when they're playing a defense that is comparable talent-wise to what they are, they do struggle. Even against Michigan, I think they scored, three second-half points, maybe six yep. second-half points? I can't. It's one of those numbers there. So, like, you can shut that offense down. As fine a season as Saiyan has had, you can shut that offense down. Then it becomes, hey, what can you do defensively against the Buckeyes' defense? Can you get enough there? Hell, Indiana did, Texas didn't, and I think Miami can do the same thing with a quarterback like Beck back there for him. He's somebody who knows how to get the ball out of his hands quickly and get it into his playmakers' hands. So, yeah, I'd expect some of those, and we saw some of those playmakers on full display on the road against Texas A&M. I think Miami would be my pick to go out there and get the job.
I agree with you, and they still have something to prove. But I think all four games we could see an upset. We could see all four upsets. We could see all four favorites win, but that's how closely matched up and how awesome the potential is for this four-game stretch here in the playoffs being played here in the next couple of days. CJ, happy holidays, sir.
Happy holidays, y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell the East Story, tell your story. I got to go with our boy Christian Pulisic. He's had to issue a statement. Please stop with made-up stories about my personal life. We need to hold sources accountable. It can affect people's lives. The story that he was commenting on is claiming it is fake news that Christian Pulisic is dating Sydney Sweeney. So he just wanted to take a moment and let everyone know he is not. I repeat, he is not dating Sydney Sweeney.
All right.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Just want to repeat that. Not dating Sydney Sweeney. One more time for the back. Not dating Sydney Sweeney. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. More Sports Talk Radio coming up next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.